الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madini channel, there are many excellences, fada'il of reciting salat and salam upon the best of creation, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration which is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, أولى الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. That the most closest to me on the Day of Judgment, from the people, being from creation, the most closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who sent the most salat upon me. Subhanallah, if we think for a moment that this life is the only opportunity we have to attain that closeness mentioned in this blessed hadith. We want to be close to the Prophet ﷺ? Of course we do. He is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He is Habibullah. He is the intercessor. He is the king of all prophets. He is the one who will intercede for people to enter Jannah. So of course, without any hesitancy whatsoever, we will answer and say, yes, of course we want closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He alayhi salatu wasalam is our means to enter Jannah, to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do we achieve that closeness? In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the most closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who sent the most salat upon me. Meaning in this world. So let's make the most of our time. Let's take time out daily if possible, inshallah, and devote 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever we can, to this blessed act of reciting salat ala nabi. Inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, we will attain that closeness to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, insha'Allah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, in today's bayan, we will be hearing about a very pertinent, very relevant topic in all ages and especially in this day and age as well. Remember, a father is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child. A father looks after a child, nurtures a child, brings up that child, goes to great lengths in order to bring income home, earn a wage, earn a salary, so that he can feed his children, his spouse. But remember, at the same time, children are a big gift, a blessing of Allah for the father as well. They are a form of rizq. Sometimes we think that rizq is only this paper, money or the coins that we have. No. Awlad are also a rizq as well. A great form of sustenance. Now, because the father has been blessed with children, there are many responsibilities upon him as well. Yes, he has to ensure that they are fed, they are given residence to stay in. These things are essential, of course. But remember, the most important thing for a father is to enhance the iman of his children and to bless them, to provide them with good character so that they can be upright Muslims in society, and even when he's long gone, left from this world, they are benefiting him in the grave. This is the most important responsibility for a father. Unfortunately, sadly, this responsibility, this duty is neglected to a great extent today. And we will hear how it's neglected. And what things are we doing wrong in terms of nurturing our children? Where are we making mistakes? What errors are we committing in regards to bringing up children? So inshallah, listen attentively. First of all, I would like to mention an account which will give you an insight to how our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, the Muslims of the past, how they would nurture children. What mindset would they give to children at such a young age? Listen to this account. Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, a very high-ranking saint in Islam. If you study his biography, you will realize this. But right from the beginning, subhanallah, he was granted and given such a noble upbringing that led to him traversing the levels of sainthood thereafter, no doubt. So listen to this account. Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari rahmatullahi alayhi says that when I was 3 years old, just 3 years old, I used to get up at night and see my maternal uncle, Sayyidina Muhammad bin Sawar rahmatullahi alayhi, offering salah. So I would get up at night, I'm 3 years old, and I would see my uncle, who's also a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very pious individual, I would see him offering salah. One day, he asked me, meaning my uncle asked me, do you not remember Allah Azza wa Jal who has created you? Uncle is saying this to his three-year-old nephew. I asked, how should I remember him? How should I remember Allah Azza wa Jal? He replied, at night before you retire to your bed, before you go to bed, imagine as if you are uttering the following statements and do it three times in your heart. Utter these statements three times in your heart. What are these statements? He is not to move his tongue, just to utter them from the heart. Allahu ma'iya. Allah is with me. Allahu nazirun ilayya. Allah azza wa jal is watching me. Allahu shahidi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness. So these three statements he was told to recite before he goes to bed. Not with the tongue, just in the heart. Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari rahmatullahi alayhi says, I recited these statements for a few nights and then I told my uncle, I told him, oh uncle, you told me to recite, you instructed me to recite these three kalimat, Allahu ma'iya, Allahu nazirun ilayya, Allahu shahidi. I recited it, what next? The uncle said, repeat it 7 times now. Before it was only thrice with the heart, now 7 times. I did so. And then I advised my uncle again, I told him that, oh uncle, firstly 3 times you said, I did it. Now 7 times you instructed, I've also done that as well. What's the next hukam? He says that then he instructed me to recite these words 11 times. So 3, 7 and now 11. Allahu ma'iyya, Allah is with me. Allahu nazirun ilayya, Allah is watching me. Allahu shahidi, Allah is my witness. Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari rahmatullahi alayhi says, when I recited 11 times, I felt such pleasure in my heart after reciting these words, subhanallah. He goes, after a year now, a year has passed, I've been reciting these kalimat. When a year passed, my uncle said, continue to recite what I have taught you until you reach your grave. Meaning, make this a lifelong amal. You are not to stop this now. You are to continue reciting these kalimat that I have given you. Allahu ma'iyya, Allahu nazirun ilayya, Allahu shahidi, until your grave. The benefit of this will be in your worldly life as well as in the akhirah as well. So Ibn Sa'd bin Abdullah Tustari rahmatullahi alayhi says, I did this. I did the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude, in private. And I used to recite these words for many years until I felt that, subhanallah, the spiritual pleasure in my heart. I could feel the spirituality of these kalimat. That Allah is with me, Allah is watching me, Allah is my witness. And one day my uncle asked, O Sahal, can a person disobey Allah Azza wa Jal despite knowing that Allah is with him, Allah sees him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his witness? Subhanallah, look at the wise words of the uncle. Can someone disobey Allah's sin? Can someone commit a sin if he knows these things, that Allah is with him, Allah is watching him, and Allah is his witness? Of course he can't. Most certainly he cannot commit a sin. Therefore, The uncle is saying to the nephew, therefore, refrain from sins. Do not go near sins. SubhanAllah. This account was in Ar-Risalatul Qushayriya. And SubhanAllah, honorable brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, this gives us an insight, a glimpse of how our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, brought up their children. Now let's ask ourselves, me and you, how many times have we done something similar? How many times have we sat our children down and said, you know, take some time out away from that iPad, that phone that you have in your hand all day, watching TV all day. Let me tell you something. In a nice way, in a gentle way of course, that recite these kalimat. Know that Allah is watching you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord who created you, is always watching you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what your intentions are. He is your witness. And from a young age, dear brothers, when you give this teaching to your children, inshaAllah ta'ala, Allah willing, they will grow up with piety in their hearts. Before they're even committing a sin, they're about to commit a sin, these words will echo in their mind. How can I sin? Allah is watching me. Allah is with me. Allah is my witness. And inshaAllah, this will help them throughout their lives, and it will help you too. Because when you're in the grave, inshaAllah, your children will only be doing pious deeds, good deeds, and they won't be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this was the teaching of our pious predecessors, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. But unfortunately, like I said, today, the situation is entirely different. We ourselves accommodate for our children to sin. We give them all sorts of gadgets. We answer every single one of their desires, whatever wish they have. And we think this is a way of showing that we are the best fathers. But remember, if you haven't given them the Islamic teachings, if you haven't nurtured them according to Islam, then this may come back to haunt us in the Akhirah. Listen very carefully. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi alayh, one of the great scholars of this ummah. He has a book called Qurratul Ayun. In this book he says that the closest people to a man are his children and his spouse. Yes, that a person, a husband, a father, his spouse is close to him and his children are close to him, of course. On the Day of Judgment, this is what Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates. On the Day of Judgment, they will say in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O our Lord, make this person compensate for our right. Because he never educated us with Islamic teachings. He never taught us about Islam. And he provided us with haram sustenance. You know, we were always told our father's out earning for us and day and night. That's why we don't see him. But Ya Allah, we're in your court now. And he provided us with haram sustenance. He didn't teach us Islamic teachings. We were unaware of this. What he was feeding us, what he was doing to earn his money. The person will then be beaten so severely, this narration states, for earning haram sustenance, he'll be beaten so severely that his flesh will come off his bones. The narration continues. Then he will be brought to the mizan, you know, the scales where the deeds will be weighed. And the angels will bring his good deeds, which are equivalent to a mountain. He will have done good deeds. But then one of his family members will come. And they will step forward and say, I have a shortage of deeds. I have a lack of deeds. And they will take some of his good deeds, meaning the father's good deeds. Then another person from the family will come and say, you made me eat sustenance earned from usury interest. Haram, haram sustenance. And he will also take some of the good deeds. Like this, family members will come and take the good deeds of the father. The father who spent days and nights earning for his family. But he was never mindful of how he earned that money. He never asked the scholars of Islam, is this a jais way of earning money or is it an impermissible way? And that will come back to haunt him. The narration continues that his family members will take all of his good deeds, those good deeds which are the size of mountains. And then he will say, turning his face to his wife and children, imagine his state. How will he say this? Full of regret, full of hasrat, full of remorse, he will turn to his family members, his wife and children. Out of grief and despair, he will say, alas, now I have the burden of those sins and acts of cruelty which I committed for you. All those sins that I committed for your sake, just to provide you with an easy life. just to meet all your desires, all your whims, all your wishes, all those sins that I committed, now they are on my head. The burden of those sins are on my head. The angels will announce, here is the unfortunate person whose family have taken all of his good deeds, and he has entered hell because of them, because of his family. I mean, what he did for them. He didn't look at jais, najais, permissible, impermissible. It's a very powerful narration, dear viewers and brothers in attendance, that this dunya, which is only to be lived in for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, and if you look at the time span that we actually work in that time, in that life, short, maybe 30 years, 40 years, or 50 years. Why would we want that 30, 40 to 50 years to come back and haunt us in the Akhirah? And ma'azallah, the narration states that this person will enter into hell. So remember, fatherhood and bringing children up, it's not only about fulfilling all of their desires and ensuring that they have the latest clothes, they have the latest gadgets, you know, whatever their friends have, whatever's trending, I must make sure that my children have that as well. And I don't care how I earn it, how I go about bringing that for them. Ma'azallah. This is not the mindset of a Muslim. We, going back to the pious predecessors, rahimahullah ta'ala, we need to teach our children about qana'ah, being content with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being satisfied in every situation. Regarding one of our pious predecessors, rahimahullah ta'ala, it's narrated that when a calamity struck him, he said, Alhamdulillah. And this is unheard of. But this was the mindset of the awliya'ullah, that when I'm drowning in the blessings of Allah, I say Alhamdulillah. And when a calamity strikes me, why would I all of a sudden start complaining, grieving, lamenting? Why? Alhamdulillah in all states. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot complain to my Lord regarding the situations that occur in my life. This is all part of destiny. So going back to it, there are many narrations in this regard. What should we do for our children? In this life, what we need to do for our children. The first narration is in Sunan Ibn Majah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, treat your children well and teach them good manners. Teach your children good manners. Don't teach them bad manners. Don't teach them such traits that will make them despised in society. If, for example, we have bad traits within us, they should be limited to us. It shouldn't be the case that someone looks at our child and says, like father, like son. Meaning his father's like this and the son's like this as well. The son's turned out like this. He's inherited these negative traits from his father. Ma'adallah. This isn't something that we should be doing in our lives, whereby our children are also being haunted by our bad deeds as well. Another narration in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no father has given his child anything that is better than good manners. Teaching them adab, teaching them respect. And this is a very vast hadith in meaning. Meaning, what it's teaching us is that we must ensure that our children are such that they fulfill the rights of everybody whose rights are binding upon them. They know how to treat others. They know how to fulfill the rights of others as well. They know how to live with others. Mu'amalat, transactions, dealings that they do with people. They know how to do them in a beautiful way. I like this. There are so many other narrations. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he clarifies the meaning of the hadith that I just mentioned. He says, good manners means to make a child religious and pious. What else can be a better gift for children than this? These things are helpful in the world and in the Akhirah. Parents should not only make their children rich before departing this life, meaning don't just only concentrate on monetary, materialistic things for our children, but they should also make them religious, and that will help them in their graves as the reward of good deeds of the living children are given to the deceased in the graves. Meaning you are long gone from this world. I said this before as well. As you are in your grave, you are 6 feet under, but because you left behind pious children, inshallah, you are benefiting in the grave as well. Another narration, which is similar to this, a very famous narration, we've heard it quite often. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person dies, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ. That his deeds, they terminate, they cease, they stop. Obviously, he can't do anything now, he's dead. Soul has been removed from his body. إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ. But three deeds continue to provide him benefit and reward. Number one, Sadaqa jariyah, continuous acts of reward, continuous, those amal, which will continually accrue good deeds for you in the grave. For example, In the world, you donated towards a well. In an area where there was a scarcity of water, people didn't have access to clean water, you built a well with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, as long as people will quench their thirst from that well, you'll be rewarded for it. You sponsored someone to become an alim. He became an alim, an imam of a masjid. He was teaching people the sacred sciences of Islam. As long as he continues to do that, inshallah, you will be receiving reward as well. And in the akhirah, you will receive reward for that as well. Shafa'at from the ulama as well. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ said, knowledge by means of which others benefit. And here you might have taught someone yourself, whatever you knew about Islam, whatever authentic information you had, you passed it on to others. Alhamdulillah, you will receive the reward of that as well. People will act upon it, people will remember that knowledge, they will impart it to others as well. Similarly, if you bought some books, you purchased some books, books of hadith, tafsir, fiqh, you gave them to children in the jami'at, darul ulum, inshallah, this will also benefit you in the akhirah as well. Whoever learns from those books that you donated, you will receive reward. And lastly, and this is relevant to our topic, righteous children who make dua for him. You leave behind children who make dua for you. You leave behind children who raise their hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to raise your ranks. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide you ease, comfort and peace in the grave. Such awlad will help you in the akhirah. Subhanallah. Mishkatul Masabih, a famous hadith book. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, undoubtedly Allah will elevate the rank of a pious person in paradise. He will say, oh my Rabb, oh Allah, how did I attain this rank? He won't know how he attained the rank. Allah Azza wa Jal will say, your son made dua for your forgiveness, therefore you have attained this rank. So these narrations, they don't need much commentary. They're wazih, they're very clear in their meanings, that if you have awlad, ensure that you're bringing your awlad up in such a way that you reap the rewards mentioned in such a hadith as well. You're in the grave, in the akhirah, in Jannah, your ranks are raised. Why? Because of your awlad. This is very, very important. And today we neglect awlad. The only thing we teach them from a young age, money, money, money. Finance, finance, finance. If you don't do this, you'll suffer. If you don't do this, you'll suffer. But we don't tell them about the akhirah or the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to gain closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to treat others in society. Husnul mu'amala, how to ensure our dealings and transactions with people are in a good way. These are the things that we neglect and we're heedless of. So, this is of utmost importance that we learn. Just a few things towards the end of the bayan. What are we doing wrong? You know, someone might ask, where are we going wrong? You know, if we're not achieving this, if we're not making our children pious, if we're not making them religious and Islamic, they're not offering salah, where have we gone wrong? In our minds, we tried. The ulama have mentioned a few things. That right from the beginning, yes, one has affection for their children. We have affection for our children, of course. Allah has placed that affection in our hearts. But what we do is we unnecessarily pamper our children. We feel that every single desire of our children we must fulfill. And when that child, his mindset becomes, the one who weeps succeeds. That every single time I need something, I'm going to cry before my mom or my dad. I will throw a tantrum. And I know this will work and they'll end up buying me something. This is the worst situation for that child to be in. And the outcome will be bad for yourself as well. Every single desire you'll be trying to fulfill of theirs. Again, going back to that point, whether it's from halal earnings or not, a person won't care about this in this regard. Why? Because he's given that mindset to his child. His child has been given unnecessary pampering throughout his childhood. And now he feels he must fulfill that need of his. He feels he's obligated to do that. Instead, what we must do is teach our children moderation. And we must teach them to not become too attached to these materialistic things. We must teach them that there is pleasure to be attained from other activities. Reciting the Quran, meeting Islamic friends, going to a durus of hadith, and other permissible tasks as well, whatever you can think of. Engage them in these things. Don't engage them or attach them to materialistic things which they'll beg for you every single time the latest or an update has come out of a console or a phone or anything like that. These are the things that we should be mindful of and be careful of as well. So the first thing that ulama say is, unnecessary pampering of children is harmful for the parent as well. Secondly, another mistake that's made, and the reason why our children don't turn out perhaps the way we want them to, they don't turn out pious, those who are consistent with their salah, those who have good mannerisms and etiquettes, and they know how to respect others, is because we do not keep a watchful eye on our children. Meaning, we've bought them a gadget, we've bought them a phone, an iPad, and we think he's only doing some painting on there, or he's only watching a video, what's the harm of that? Before we know it, and we all know the harms of social media, that he's on all sorts of sites. Things are becoming indoctrinated into his mind that you would never think of. He's picking up certain beliefs, certain notions and ideas that al-iyadu billah. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before we know it, that social media, that gadget has become a tool which can be known as mukharrabi akhlaq. A tool which damages a person's reputation, his akhlaq, which taints his character. And then we think, wait a minute, this child yesterday didn't speak like this to me. Yesterday this child of mine was okay. What's happened overnight? But that's the thing, dear viewers and brothers in attendance, we have to keep a watchful eye over our children. What they're accessing on social media, on the internet, what's their friend circle like, who are they meeting up with, who are their acquaintances, who do they sit with. These things we have to be mindful of. And the child might not like it, might get uncomfortable. But again, this is where the father, the mother have to use wisdom. You know, we can't say that we're going to shout at them and we're going to be very harsh towards them and strict towards them and they listen to us. No, it doesn't work like that. And especially if they're amongst people and you start speaking to them like this, that you're so irresponsible, you're so wrong, then that will not cause any benefit at all. In fact, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, he mentioned that the one who advises a person in public has disgraced him, he has humiliated him. And the one who advises his brother, advises someone in private, then he has adorned him, meaning he has rectified him. He has rectified his affairs. And we have to be mindful of this as well. Yes, they're our children, but there's a way to speak to children. You don't always use this tone that I'm your father or I'm your mother, whatever I say goes, don't give me any cheek, don't say, you have no right to say anything back to me. It doesn't work like that. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 years he spent in the company of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam never rebuked me in those 10 years. 10 years is not a small amount of time. 10 years, a long period of time. And he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not harsh towards me in that time. And we are followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have children, we have nephews, we have nieces. If we see something wrong, then we use wisdom, we use hikmat, and in a beautiful way, we invite them towards goodness. We forbid evil. Amrun bil ma'roof wa nahyun anil munkar. So these are a few things that the ulama have said, that not keeping a watchful gaze over our children, not looking into who they are socializing with, these things can come back to haunt us. Similarly, when trying to rectify someone, whether it's your children or anyone in that case, always use wisdom, always be gentle, always be mindful of the fact that your gentleness can save this person, change his life for the better, and your harshness can destroy him. So this is a balance between the two. And we have to ensure that we are moderate in our approach, we are gentle when we are trying to rectify others, especially our children as well. We have affection towards our children, and I'm wrapping up the bayan now, that they are a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards us, but we want them to be a gift that benefit us long when we're gone from this world, in the grave and in the akhirah as well. For that we have to learn Islamic knowledge ourselves. And I would like to finish with this point, that parents have to practice what they preach. If you want our child to become an upright member of society, a pious person, a nice person, a person who people want to associate and accompany, then we must be that as well. We must be someone who people like to be with, someone who fulfills the rights of others, someone who has good character, good akhlaq himself. Now, if the parent is not offering salah, the parent is not fasting in the month of Ramadan, the parent Hajj has been farz for the last 20 years, he still doesn't go and perform Hajj, then how can we expect our children to turn out like the awliya Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant wilayah to whomsoever he wants. There's no doubt in that. But we're saying generally, you need to provide an environment at home that leads to that child becoming pious. And inshallah, when you do so, you ensure that your house, where you have control, no doubt outside is difficult, but in your house you have control. And if you provide them with a beautiful environment, inshallah, and you're also acting upon Islam yourself, your spouse is acting upon Islam, then inshallah, no doubt that will rub off onto your children as well. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the good deeds of a person, they benefit not only his own generation, but many generations to come as well. And that's if you're sincere in your a'mal, and you are a truly obedient person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most definitely Allah will not waste your a'mal salihah. Inshallah, you yourself will reap the benefits of your salih a'mal. Your children will also benefit. Their children will benefit. Many generations will also benefit as well. May Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us all tawfiq to take this responsibility of raising children very seriously. Especially in this day and age, may we ensure that we're providing our children with adequate knowledge of Islam so that they become upright and pious members of society. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We are calling upon you, Allah.